Grace and peace to all of you, my Father's children. Let's open with a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our Father, God, we thank you for life. We thank you for health. God, we thank you for strength. God, we thank you for another opportunity to be in your presence. We thank you, oh God, that your word tells us that morning by a new morning, you allow us to see new mercies. So, God, we thank you for another mercy, oh God, that you've allowed us to see on this morning, oh God. God, we pray that as your word speaks to us on this morning, God, that it would illuminate the dark places, oh God. God, that it would saturate the dry places. God, we pray even now, oh God, for a revelation out of your word, God, that will transcend all time, and God will cause us to become closer to you and cause us to be better witnesses for you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Again, we thank God for each and every one of you on this morning. On this morning, our journeys take us to Luke, the 17th chapter, starting at the 11th verse. Luke, the 17th chapter, starting at the 11th verse. And from the New American Standard Bible, it reads as follows. While he was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he, as in Jesus, said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. And I have one more scripture that I want to read to you. And it is from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter and the 18th verse. And I want to read this one from the Message Bible. And it simply says this. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. Let me read that one more time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. And the word of the Lord is blessed. On today, I want to talk to you for the next few moments on a lifestyle of thanksgiving. A lifestyle of thanksgiving. Listen, tomorrow we celebrate what the world considers to be Thanksgiving. And we celebrate Thanksgiving to commemorate the pilgrims who came over to America and actually survived a very harsh winter. But what people don't understand about Thanksgiving is that it's not as if they had found a land that was prosperous, that was productive, that was better than what it is that they had left before. Matter of fact, they thought they were coming to better weather. They thought they were coming to some moderate weather. But they were hammered by a harsh and a relentless winter when they hit New England. The ship that brought them over ended up getting holes, ended up leaking. By the time they got it back, because they had only borrowed it, it wasn't much to spare. They didn't have tables. Even chairs were scarce. Didn't have knives and forks. They had to eat with their fingers. You have to understand that they started out with 102 people, but only about 51, 52 of them remained when they met that first Thanksgiving. Matter of fact, when they hit land, the first 2 months of land, 2 to 3 people died every day that left husbands without wives and children without parents. The older and the younger were the ones that were leaving. It was only 3 people over 40 that were left standing. So you have to understand, you all, even in the midst of such great adversity, they still gave thanks. And how is it that they can give thanks, you all? They gave thanks because they realized that things could have been much worse. Out of the 102, maybe only 2 survived. They could have gotten there, and the Indians that they met could have killed them off. You all, when we always have our minds and our expectations set on what life should be like for us, that's what gets us into a place of being ungrateful. That's what gets us in a place of not having a lifestyle of thanksgiving. But when you do as 1 Thessalonians instructed us to do, to give thanks no matter what happens, you develop a lifestyle of thanksgiving. It's not just one day, and it's not just about who is cooking on that day. It's a lifestyle. Let's look at what was happening in Luke 17. You had 10 men who at that time had the worst disease of that day, of that time frame. You have to understand leprosy. Leprosy attacks the body. It leaves sores. It causes missing fingers, missing toes, damaged limbs. If you've ever had anything like shingles, this was no type of pain compared to shingles. The initial pain of leprosy then gave way to something that was far worse. You had a total deadening of the nerve endings, which of course led damage to more body parts because you couldn't feel when something was wrong in another appendage. And so then something would happen there. And you all, as opposed to something that we think would be horrendous, like shingles or something that we feel as though, you know, there could be some sort of combating to, even some cancers, there's some treatment to. You all, leprosy could take 30 years to run its course. 30 years, you all. 30 years. So you have to understand, nobody wanted to catch that, and so that's why anyone who caught leprosy had to go outside of the gates of the place that they were living, and they had to scream out their condition, unclean, unclean, so that those that did not have leprosy knew not to come around them and catch their disease. Are you catching where I'm going? But yet and still, they heard about Jesus coming by. And they didn't come near Jesus. That's not what the word says. But they said, they screamed out with a loud voice to have mercy on them. They stood at a distance. They respected the man that he was. Did not want to infect him. Didn't realize he could not be infected by what it is that they had if he chose not to be. But they stood from a distance and raised their voices and said, "Have mercy on us." He never touched them. He just told them to go and show yourself to the priest. They weren't supposed to go anywhere near people, but yet they trusted the word of God. And it says, and as they were going, they were cleansed. As they were going, they were cleansed. Sounds like some of us. We cry out from a distance. God, help us with this job. Help us in our marriage. Save my children. Help us pay this bill. We're going into foreclosure. Help save our house. We stand out from a distance because we have no connection with God, a distance because we have no true relationship with Him. So we're standing out from a distance, crying out, "Have mercy on us." And He's telling us, as we're going through life, as we're working our job, as we're dealing with people, go and show yourself. Show yourself to be delivered. Show yourself to be set free. Show yourself to have your needs taken care of. But different from the lepers, we still sit there and we don't do anything. We still stand out from a distance and we're still screaming out to God. Whereas they had nothing to lose, they kept going on their way. And as they went, they were cleansed. Let's keep going. It says, now one of them who had been healed turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a child of God. He wasn't even a believer. But he came back and said thank you, because he knew how his life could have been had God not stepped in. The other nine went on about their way. And Jesus said, you're the only one. No one else was found to return to give glory back to God except this one, who wasn't even one that was serving me from the first place. And Jesus tells him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. What does that mean, you all? It means that his faith is what healed him, not just of his disease, but it's going to heal his sin-sick soul as well. What am I trying to share with you on today? On today, develop a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Don't let it just be around this time that you think about all the things that God has done. You may say, well, preacher, I really don't have anything to thank God for. Yeah, you do. No, you don't understand. I lost Big Mama this year. I understand that. But be thankful you had Big Mama in the first place. Because you could have went through life and not had her. You don't understand, Pastor. It wasn't Big Mama for me. Somebody raped me. And I've had a traumatic experience ever since. I get that, and I don't negate what you went through, but thank God he spared your life. Thank God he spared your life. You don't get it. You don't get it. You don't know how it feels to be a man and lose your job and not be able to pay the bills and not be able to feed your children. I do get it, because I've been there. I've lost my job. I didn't have a family at the time, but I couldn't pay my bills. And I almost ended up being homeless. But I do know this. Thank God that your family hasn't walked out on you because you lost your job. Thank God they still love you for being who you are. You got to find a reason, just like the pilgrims, to be thankful. Find a reason to be thankful. Find a reason. You still have breath in your body. Find a reason to be thankful. Find a reason. You still got eyes to see. Find a reason to be thankful. Find a reason. Because there are other folks that I declare are worse off than you. Walter Hawkins wrote that song. And there's the, when they started going into the Be Grateful Vampire song, Lynette Hawkins Stevens said, be grateful because there's someone there who's worse off than you. Be grateful because there's always someone else who'd love to be in your shoes. I'm gonna owe him royalties in a minute. But it's so true. Be grateful, you all, for everything you've got. Be grateful for what you don't have. Be grateful no matter how miserable it is. Why? Because that's the way those who are in Christ Jesus are supposed to live. Let's pray. God, we thank you even now for this opportunity. We thank you, oh God, for reminding us that we need to have a lifestyle of thanksgiving. That's what those who believe in Christ are supposed to have. We're supposed to be giving thanks when things are good, giving thanks when things are bad, giving thanks when we think things are miserable. We're supposed to give thanks even if we're in difficult circumstances. We're supposed to give thanks regardless of what it is that we're dealing with. Why? Because we're supposed to give thanks in the work of God's goodness. Every time we give thanks, that's our worship. Every time we give thanks, that leads to action. When we give thanks, even when we can't see it, it gives God glory. So God, help us that to develop a lifestyle of thankfulness, a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Because when we have a lifestyle of thanksgiving, it's contagious. It's catching. When we have a lifestyle, we learn to give thanks no matter what is going on. So God, I pray even now that we would develop that lifestyle of thankfulness, that lifestyle of thanksgiving, so that every day becomes a day of thanksgiving to us. I pray that we be your change agents today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank God for all of you. I pray that you have an awesome and amazing Thanksgiving and be that change that you desire to see, one person, one household, one divine appointment at a time. God bless you.